WNYC Studios is supported by the Brennan Center for Justice, presenting The Failed Experiment of Mass Incarceration. This virtual event on Wednesday, April 17th at 3 p.m. will feature criminal justice advocates and contributors to the new book, Excessive Punishment: How the Justice System Creates Mass Incarceration. They will discuss why the American approach to criminal justice is so punitive and how reforms would prioritize human dignity and restoration over retribution. Find more information and register for this event at brennancenter.org/events.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and with the crush of national news these days, it's easy to overlook things going on locally that don't seem as earth-shattering, but maybe are. Here's a troubling trend related to New York City's construction boom. In the past 2 years, 31 construction workers have been killed, according to a federal government count. Today, City Council considers a package of bills designed to prevent construction accidents, with Mayor de Blasio reportedly not committed to the full package. With me now are journalist Rosa Goldenson, who's been covering the story for Crane's New York Business, Dominique Bravo, director of Pathways to Apprenticeship, a union-founded group that connects low-income New Yorkers with construction apprenticeships. She's had an op-ed in the Times on this within the last few days. Maybe you saw it. And one of those pathways to peer mentors, Shai Green. Shai and Dominique, welcome. Rosa, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So more than once a month, listeners, think about this for a second. More than once a month, a construction worker is killed on the job in New York City. You know how many police officers died on the job in New York City in 2016? One. So such a higher rate than police officers or firefighters or other jobs we consider sacred because of their level of danger. It's about the same number of American troops killed in Afghanistan in 2016. So can I ask, Dominique, how do construction workers die? Are there types of accidents that are the most common?
Well, Brian, the vast majority of these deaths and injuries occur on non-union sites because those workers are not trained. They're not trained, and they fear that if they don't do, they're not trained. The reason that these accidents don't occur on union sites are because union workers are trained. And they're not only trained, they don't have the fear that they're going to lose their jobs if they do safety precautions.
Well, Rosa from Cranes, have you teased that out in your reporting? These 31 deaths in the last 2 years on construction sites, are they all or almost all on non-union work sites?
The OSHA statistics bear that out. I think 75 to 85% is usually what they have found. But of course, all our statistics on this are kind of shaky because we don't have, at a city level, a comprehensive sense even of how many deaths there really are. In fact,
you reported on the odd fact, and certainly is an odd fact, that the city and the federal government don't seem to count construction deaths the same way. The city only counts 24 over the last 2 years, you reported. The Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration counts 31. Who are those seven other people who died?
One of them was an Army veteran who fell down an elevator shaft. One of them was...
While working as a construction worker?
Yeah, on a site, although DOB would dispute whether he was working... engaged in the act of construction at the time.
That's where the vagueness of categorization comes in?
Well, the Department of Buildings sees their purview and their jurisdiction as not including what OSHA's purview includes, which is health and safety violations or health and safety issues. When a person falls, a worker falls off a building, they might be counted in the city's count because they are a falling object that could cause a public safety hazard, not necessarily because of the of them falling as a worker, the reason they fell.
Huh. Shai Green, yeah. You want to tell us about your work as a peer mentor and how it relates to this issue?
Yes. Actually, the first thing that I would like to talk about is I'm a peer mentor with the program of P2A. But before that, I came in as an apprentice in construction for Local 79, which is laborers. What's really important to me is the training that we receive as laborers, and I think that it's important for all laborers, whether it's union or non-union. I actually took the liberty of bringing in the training. I actually just celebrated my 2-year anniversary about a week ago.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And in the 2 years, I've acquired 31 certificates of training. And, which is a lot. It's, you know, a lot of people don't, you know, a lot of, especially non-union workers don't have them. And it's something that's actually a requirement. And what I love about it is because as an apprentice, we have to work. So we have on-the-job training, and we also have to go to school during the entire time that you're an apprentice. It's a lot of work, but it really pays off because one of my favorite things is when I learn these things in class, of course, they're foreign to you. Anything that you're learning, it's foreign at first. Mm-hmm. And then you get on the job and everything kind of makes sense.
So can you give us an example of something that you were trained in because I guess you were in union positions?
Right.
That people who are in non-union construction jobs might not get trained
yes,
in,
yeah,
that could put their lives in danger?
One of my favorite classes that I took is hoisting and rigging, which is very, very dangerous on the field. It requires a lot of weight that's being lifted and carried and moved. You have to be very strategic about how you lift it, how you move it, how you carry it, where you put it, who's in control of it moving. And when I took this class, I didn't really understand. We had little model trucks to use and things like that. But then I actually went on the field a few weeks later on a job that where it was important, and I was able to keep myself from getting hurt. And I was actually able to stop others from being mm-hmm. hurt who weren't trained because I ended up on a job. It's called Open Shop, and that means it's a mix between union and non-union workers. And I got to meet them, become friends with them because there's no real beef between union and non-union workers. Everybody wants to work, everybody wants to make money. So I got to meet with them, I got to talk with them, and I got to understand that they had no training. So I as just an apprentice, and them, being in a field. And they're supposed to be able to hold their own, had to show them, ways to keep us both safe.
We can take a few phone calls,
sure.
Listeners. So construction workers or anyone else in the industry, why are so many construction workers dying? If we have Vision Zero for traffic deaths, what would a Vision Zero for construction deaths look like to you? Construction workers, you're invited, or anyone else in the industry. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. Dominique, it's even more outrageous compared to, say, police or military or firefighter deaths, which are fewer, certainly police firefighter deaths, because those jobs take them into situations that are by definition hostile and not fully in their control. Criminals and enemy forces and raging fires. This is just the peaceful work of putting up a building. Nobody should be dying in accidents, or it should be extremely, extremely rare. In fact, you put the word accidentally in quotes in your op-ed.
Yes.
Why is that?
Because this is a problem that we know how to fix. Workers will not be suffering these injuries and fatalities if they were trained. And I have to also say, one, you introduced Pathways to Apprenticeship as a union-found organization. We are not. We are a nonprofit organization that was founded by people from community organizations and individuals from the building trades.
It said that
trades.
At the bottom of your Times op-ed, too.
Union yes, founded. But I want to say that we're not talking about union versus non-union here. We really are talking about safety. Revenues are so high right now. The construction industry is booming in this city. In 2015, the 20 largest development companies in New York City, their revenues went up by over 14%.
But your first answer was that this happens on non-union sites and it doesn't really happen on union sites. So is the solution, in your opinion, to mandate union labor on construction sites?
No. What we need to do, which is the subject of the city council bill that's being presented today, is to require training of workers. Workers need to be trained on how to keep themselves safe, and safety needs to be a priority on all work sites. maybe Shai can speak about this, but part of why workers don't take up the safety precautions is because it takes time.
Right. It is a rush situation. When you bring up, if you do a comparison between union and non-union, we're protected as a union. We know that we don't have to literally kill ourselves in order to stay on our job. So we know that, you know, doing things as simple as tying off, which is what some of the workers have died from, having a harness on but not tying off from somewhere, because it takes time, it slows you down. Not only does it slow you down just to tie off, it slows you down, you know, every foot of the way. Every time that you're making a movement, every time that you turn around, you have to do something. So you're in your mind and you don't want to lose your job. So you say, okay, I'm going to do it the fastest way. But the fastest way is most of the time not the safest way.
By the way, listeners, what you can't see is that Shai Green might be the first guest in the history of the show to come to the radio station wearing an American flag construction helmet. So there you go.
She's going back to work after the show.
I'm going back to work after.
Media gear. I love it. So Rosa Goldenson from Cranes, you reported that Mayor de Blasio has expressed skepticism about at least one of the bills in this 18-bill package that City Council will consider today, one with a requirement that developers oppose to use apprenticeship programs, I guess like the ones that Dominique and Shai are involved with. What's the mayor and the developer's position?
Dominique is right that the language of the bill, you know, an apprenticeship requirement doesn't mandate union labor. In a way, it effectively can, in the sense that most of the apprenticeship programs are run by the unions, and there are different reasons for that. One representative from the non-union contractor side told me that it is because their kind of marginal advantage is their labor force, each individual non-union contractor, so that there would be no advantage for them to pooling their workers and investing in an expensive training program. One of the opposition forces to this bill is that it would effectively mandate union labor, and the developers and the non-union contractors would say that would shut down job sites or shut down construction.
You want to respond to that?
Well, I understand there actually are non-union apprenticeship programs. But apart from just the reason why apprenticeship is significant in this is because there's also, studies have shown, a relationship between how long you are on the job and a decrease in injury and fatalities. There's data to support this. So if you're not worried about losing your job, you will be safer.
Let's take some phone calls. Joe in Bayside, a contractor. Joe, you're on WNYC. Thank you so much for calling.
Hi. I was listening to your show right now, and something that comes up with us. We're a union contractor, and, 99% of the guys we work with are hardworking, smart, safe individuals. But one of the things we deal with is Local Law 240, which basically says that if anybody falls off a scaffold, it's our fault. So you do from time to time get workers who aren't as safe as they should be, because they know that if they get hurt, Workman's Comp will not contest their case, and they will basically get paid for not working. So I think part of the overall safety issue is related to New York's Local Law 240.
You want contractors to not be necessarily held responsible as automatically as they are?
Not in every case. If the contractor was negligent, they should be held responsible.
Gotcha. Thank you very much. Hale in Freeport. You're on WNYC. Hello, Hale.
Yeah, how you doing? Great show. I've been a sign hanger for over 40 years. When we started back hanging signs and fixing them in the city, we used to go up a three-piece wooden ladder, 3 20-footers. The work was about 55 feet of working height, no harness, no nothing, but we knew to hold on, we knew how to lock our legs, and OSHA should be on the jobs, not and train on the jobs, bring them, go down there, let it prevent it before it happens. Plus, the kids don't listen to the old-timers. The old-timers know what's going on. They know when you go out on a 10-foot building and it's concrete, up there on a slab, and you're walking towards it early in the morning. It looks like water. It's ice, and you fall on your butt. And OTB, we removed a dish in Valley Stream. The guy called us in the 11th hour last year, New Year's Day, because he forgot there was two big dishes on the roof with counterweights, concrete. He put OTB people in harm's way and all of us. We should have walked off the job, but we didn't. Okay, we got it done, but I wrote a 3-page letter that guy should not be in charge of construction. And the schools today are putting out geeks and thumb things with these crackberries. There's no more shops in the schools, very little, because the insurance is so expensive to train these kids. So
as a worker with your experience, I'm still thinking about the last caller too, and I wonder if you want to respond to the implication that he made that workers are getting injured on purpose because they know they'll get workman's comp.
Oh, of course. It was on one of your shows one time. A cleaning company. Then they had 200 people, and they were growing leaps and bounds. It was a woman-owned company. Then all of a sudden, 30% of the crew is getting hurt.
Oh, so you're
make
saying
believe.
So you back them up on that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, listen. Yeah. That's why. Listen, we go back to the CCCs after the war. They put people to work, picking up the parks, fixing up the parks, putting down pavers and everything else, taught them the work ethic. Today, if you take those people on welfare or collecting benefits and you put a shovel in their hand, okay, after about 3 days, they're going to deliberately cut their toe off or whatever.
Well, I'm going to leave it there. That's a very broad brush that I'm not going to accept as a broad brush. But I don't want to get really too distracted by that. But did you want to say something about that?
I definitely think it's a really great point. I think it definitely happens. I think you got a few occasional idiots in every occupation. But I don't. Out of the 31 deaths that we've just had recently, I don't think that any of them were playing or looking for a profit. I think that those were serious negligence issues and fear, as Dominique brings up.
Yeah.
I don't think that if you want to talk about injuries, yeah, there's a couple people bang yourself up a little bit because you can get workers' comp. But we're actually talking about, yeah, safety, but deaths. These people are dying. They're not dying because they're like, okay, maybe if I fall off this 50-foot building, I'll survive. And, you know, we're not taking those kind of gambles. I'm not. I don't know anyone personally around me that is.
So I hear all three of you now on the two callers and you on how this does happen. But also I get the distinction that you're making between the little things and people who are in serious accidents that could threaten their lives. The caller mentioned OSHA and how OSHA, that's the Federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration, should be on all construction sites, in his opinion. And Dominique, your op-ed mentions that even as the number of construction sites has been ballooning in New York in recent years, the number of OSHA inspectors has gone down.
Yes, it has. They've dropped by more than 13% in the last few years, as the number of building permits has gone up by 18%. Also, so there's very few inspections. Statistics also show that when OSHA does go in and inspect, they often find, the majority of times, they do find violations. So these are contractors who are even when the rare violation, even when the rare inspection does happen, violations are found. Fines are not that high. They're a cost of doing business, and they'll just get paid. And
is that in the city council bills?
I'm not sure what the city council it does.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And we're almost out of time. But does the city council legislation mandate union labor in any way, Rosa?
Not explicitly, no. I think that non-union contractors would argue, in the way I did before, that it effectively will increase the share of work going to unions, but it does not explicitly do that.
And Mayor de Blasio has been opposed to a union labor requirement for affordable housing construction in a state bill that I think Governor Cuomo supports.
That's right.
Does that issue come back into play here?
Yeah, and in fact, they had that fight when they fought the mandatory inclusionary housing. The construction trades wanted to see mandated union labor. The administration and the mayor opposed it, and that's why you had construction workers protesting at that time. So he has a history of disagreeing with or tension with the building trades, And that certainly sets the stage for this fight.
We're going to have to leave it there. We will see what happens now that this city council bill and package of bills really is being introduced today. We're scheduled to have the mayor on the show on Friday. I will definitely ask him about this. And I want to thank all three of you for coming on. Journalist Rosa Goldenson, who's been covering this story for Crane's New York Business. Dominique Bravo, director of Pathways to Apprenticeship. You can read her op-ed on this in the New York Times this week. And Pathways to Peer Mentor, Shai Green. Shai, back to your real job.
with
your helmet. No, I'm just saying goodbye.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thanks, Brian.